Good morning again. It is so good to see you. Glad that we are making our way through the book of Ruth. And so we are going to continue that this morning. Last week we picked up in chapter 2. We're going to be finishing out chapter 2 here today, in which we continue to see just wonderful truths exemplified in Boaz and in Ruth, ultimately pointing to Jesus. Before we get into everything, I want to just share a little bit about myself. If I were not in ministry, I think I would be a chef. I love to cook. We cook regularly with good friends of ours multiple nights a week. Just cooking is just, it is a rhythm in life to make really, really good food. Amen? Who's a cook? Where are my cooks at? This is why we need to have potlucks, because you get to try everything. So now, here's the thing, though, about cooking that I've learned over the years, is that you'll have these, what you think are really good ideas. One of these things that always seems like a good idea is making everything from scratch. Now, sometimes this is great. The workload is not as bad as you think it's going to be. But if you've ever tried making doughs, making your own pasta, by the way, making potato gnocchi, it is like sworn off the list to ever make again. Making doughs and pastas and breads, some of these things are simple. You know, a good bread, you can make it in an afternoon. And then other times, like making tortillas or naan bread, which is very popular in Indian cuisine, you don't realize that these breads take an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you start making them at the same exact time that you're trying to cook everything else, and your hour meal turns into a three-hour meal. And so what happens in this process is, like, you're getting through it, and you're like, there's this point that always sits, and you're like, oh, what are we doing? Why did we decide to make everything from scratch? I am so hungry, and I just want these tortillas to be done. I just want the bread now. I just need the pasta now. They sell it pre-made. Why did we not buy it pre-made? And there's this moment in the middle where you're like, okay, I know where I'm going. And then once you finish that meal, you finish that prep, there's this point where you finally get to eat that food, and everything is suddenly worth it, because y'all, making your own tortillas for a quesadilla, nothing beats it. It takes a while, but nothing compares to it. And there's this deep satisfaction that comes when you push through and you see to the end, right? This meal in the middle of it, when you're just looking at a bowl of dough on the counter with, you know, with a warm towel over it, and you're like, is that really rising? I don't think it's doing anything. But there's this moment where when you push through the meal and you reach the end and you assemble everything, that you reach the sense of deep satisfaction. And what we see in this is this persistence. We're going to talk about a word all morning called chesed. Everyone say chesed with me. If you want to get super Jewish, we say chesed. It's in the back of the throat. Chesed. There you go. Get that guttural. The word chesed is one of the most used and most fundamental words in all of Scripture to describe God. The word is translated primarily in English as kindness. However, in many books of the Old Testament, it's actually translated to loving kindness. God's kindness. And see, I mentioned cooking and prepping these things that end up taking a long time, because there's this sense that we have to push through that preparation, that you have to see to the end, that there is a final goal, a final thing at play here. And oftentimes, our love, excuse me, all, give me one moment here, bad wire. Here we go. Got it. There are times in life when our kindness and our love, it can reach a stopping point. We saw last week with Naomi, her bitterness overtook her. She forgot God's kindness. We see with Ruth, even though she's very proactive in what she's doing, there's this sense almost of longing, like she's searching for something more. And what we experience in life often are these moments that we forget God's love and His kindness. Excuse me, y'all. We've got a bad wire, so I'm going to switch over to here. This isn't good because it's going to, actually, no, I have to move, okay? Very loud voice. Oh, there it is. Man, I kind of wanted to do it. Sorry. Let's come back. There are times in life when times of suffering, things that occur, they cause us to forget God's love and His kindness extended towards us. And we ourselves, we can experience a lack of this as well. But the beauty of Hesed, this love, is that it sees through to the end. It's not situational. It's not temperamental. God's loving kindness is something that is always present. And in the times when, say, we want to give up on the tortillas, when I want to just call it, when I feel like God has almost forsaken me, the beauty of Hesed is that it pushes through to the end. It's already where God wants us to be. And so what we're going to see this morning as we finish out Ruth chapter 2 is this major pivot in our story, where in Boaz, we begin to see the Hesed, the loving kindness of God, exemplified. You get this sense that now, even though a moment before there felt like there may have been an end to this story, now I can see on to this point that's coming. I can see where the kindness of God is taking me. I can see where He's taking His story. So please, if you will, turn to Ruth chapter 2, and if, as you are turning there, I want you to remember this today, that God's love will be so kind to you, and it will satisfy your soul. God's love, it will be so kind, and it will satisfy your soul. So please, if you will, Ruth chapter 2, we're going to begin here at verse 10. At this point, remember that Ruth, she stumbled along into a field to glean, just so happened to fall into the field of Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer of the family. Remember, that is the one who, in the event that a husband dies, would traditionally step in and marry into the family to both protect the woman and maintain the family name. And Ruth just so happens to stumble into the field of Boaz. So verse 10, it says, "At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and she asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' And Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here and have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she had wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until morning. Then she threshed in the barley she had gathered and it amounted to an ephah. And she carried it back to town. And her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his chesed, his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the woman who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Chesed, loving kindness, it sees through to all things. God's love, when exemplified, has the power to change and to break through barriers. So we see here first, if we go back to verses 10 and 11, that the chesed, this loving kindness, it will welcome us in. Take note in verse 10, there is something very interesting that Ruth said. She asks a question. She says, why is it, Boaz, that you have noticed me? I am a foreigner. I am a foreigner. What's really interesting is that culturally, in this time, classes of people, different social groups, different racial groups, they tended not to have deep interaction with one another. Now, within the marketplace, of course, you will pass people from all over the world, especially if you live in larger metropolis areas. This is true for us today. But in this time, you tended to have your most personal and intentional life business with those whom you were like. If you were Jewish, you hung out with Jews. If you were Moabite, you hung out with Moabites. And while you would pass people in the market, where your life was spent was primarily with those whom you were most similar to. So even in these fields where you would have the poor coming in and gathering the grain, it was not common for an overseer of a farm to have intimate interactions with one of the people who are there, let alone a foreigner. She is a foreigner. And not only is she a foreigner, she's also poor. She is a widow. She is of no standing working class. Socially, Ruth, within this ancient system, is at the bottom of the ladder. But here's the beauty that we begin to see of God's loving kindness exemplified in Boaz. We see that Chesed will welcome you in. Verse 10 again, it says, at this she bowed down and she asked, why have you found such favor in your eyes that you notice me? And he replied, I've been told all about what you have done. All that you have done for Naomi, how you left your homeland, your family has passed, and you've cared for your mother-in-law. You've come to this new place, a stranger, to care for her. And what does Boaz do? In this moment where there's this weight in the story, what is Boaz going to say? This woman of no class, this woman of no standing, this woman who has lost her family, she has low social standing, who is in a place that she does not know. What is Boaz going to do? And in this pivotal point in the story, he points her to God. This verse, in verse 11, this is where the paradigm shifts in this entire story. Boaz, he reminds her all that she has done for Naomi, and he shifts the focus to God. He says, God has seen and knows all that you have done, how richly you will be repaid and blessed, how much God will show his loving kindness towards you and lift you from the pits. He says, the Lord will repay you for your work. He almost seems to be encouraging her as if she is a new convert. Because if you remember in chapter 1, she says that I will go with you where you go. And the final thing that she says is, your God, Naomi, will be my God. So there is this sense that Boaz is now, he's ministering to her. He's pointing her to the God of Israel. He's pointing her to a God who stands above all things, who in his providence or his all-knowingness has orchestrated this entire story to come to this point where everything that has happened along the way happened for a reason, to lead Ruth and Boaz and Naomi to this moment. And Boaz to Ruth, he says that you have found protection. There is the sense that under the wings of God, it's an Old Testament phrase, that the wings of God, if you've ever seen a bald eagle or a large hawk, when they fly and they spread their wings, you never understand how great their wingspan is until they actually begin to fly. And so there's this sense that God, under his wingspan, there's this sense of protection. That God has been part of this story the entire time. Boaz, again, look in 11. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. At the end, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. God has been at work this entire time, and now Boaz is beginning to show God's hand. To say, it is God who has been in control and has brought you to this place. All that you have done has not been without purpose. And now we get this sense that Ruth, a foreigner, is being brought into the family of God. If you ever want a great argument that salvation from the Lord is for all people who trust in him, this is it right here. That those who trust in him and take refuge in him will come under the chesed and the protection of God. Followers of God are not just for Israel. All who believe are welcomed in and can experience the chesed of God. So we go on in our story, and next we see in verses 13 through 17 that the chesed, it will break all social, cultural, and status barriers. Again, chesed will break all cultural, social, and status barriers. Look here at verse 11. Boaz replied, I've been told all that you have done. Excuse me, look to verse 13. He says, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord. She said, you have put me at ease in speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. Okay, she still is saying, I hear what you're saying, Boaz. I understand that I have found favor in God's eyes, but I am still of no standing. I am still of no class. I am not even a servant. And he says, at mealtime, come over here and have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain, and she ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuke her. Boaz is completely putting to rest all barriers. Status does not matter in this moment. Social class is gone. Cultural barriers no longer matter. Chesed, loving kindness, will break all social, cultural, and status barriers. We also are beginning to see in this story the romance side of it. Okay, this is a romance. This is a story of love that we see between Boaz and Ruth. There is this sense that Boaz has taken, he's taken a deeper love for Ruth. This woman who has been in the field, because there are so many who come and they glean in these fields. But Ruth has caught the eye of Boaz. There's this intimacy that is beginning to form where we see these two people who are flipping all barriers. What's amazing about Boaz is he gives her so much. He gives her protection. He gives her kindness. He gives her food. When it says in verse 14, notice how this is a direct counter to what her claim is in 13. She says, I have no standing, not even as a servant. And the next verse is, at dinner time, Boaz said, come here and have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. In ancient Israelite mealtime, dipping the bread into the wine vinegar was reserved for the family. It was reserved for high guests. This is not something that servants would have done. This is not something that foreigners would have done. This was a very particular point in the evening to partake of this special time where you eat this bread in this wine. He is inviting her into all customs, all social norms. He is giving her status. She has now been made more than a servant. He is saying that she is one of their own. He is showing great has said, great kindness. See, what we're beginning to see here, Boaz being a faithful follower of God is exemplifying the kind of loving kindness that God shows towards us. Boaz has experienced the chesed of God, and it has become so part of who he is that when you look at Boaz, you should be reminded of God. You should be reminded of the characteristics that a faithful follower of God carries. And how amazing it is that the kind of kindness that Boaz is showing, this is what God shows us. That God ultimately shows us a chesed so great that it breaks all social norms. It breaks all barriers. It breaks all ethnicities. That anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will be saved, will become part of the family of God, will receive new status. See, the richness of the gospel has been evident in God's plan since day one. The Old Testament looks forward to Jesus, to a one who will ultimately show God's loving kindness. But y'all, when you read Ruth, Boaz exemplifies it pretty well. Boaz is showing us true chesed. And we can look back on these pages, and as we see here, Ruth being brought in, elevated, given standing and status, giving protection. When we see this word kindness extended, ultimately, we should be reminded of what God did in Boaz's life and what he does for all who trust in him. Ruth, again, is promised protection. She's given a place at the table. She is receiving new status. And now the story, I hope you're beginning to feel this narrative move forward. There's this sense of this quickness developing in this story where you have this godly man raising up this widowed woman who socially has the right to marry into the family and redeem all who are part of it. And we see with Boaz that he is doing exactly what following Jesus does. It breaks through all norms, all barriers, and it makes all new who trust in him. Chesed will break all social, cultural, and status barriers. And what we see in 18... we begin now to see this shift where we see that chesed, it will redeem your life from the pit. Loving kindness will redeem your life from the pit. Look here again in 18. So Ruth, she's gleaned. She has taken her food, which, by the way, pause, if you look back at 16, it says, even put out some stalks from her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuke her. These stalks of grain, they would have been close to 2 to 250 pounds. They were tightly woven bundles. So for her to take stalks, even if she took a few, easily could have been 20 to 30 pounds worth of food that she was given to take home. This is beyond just gleaning in the field. Boaz gives her a significant amount of food. And so in 18, she carried it back to town. And her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. I imagine Ruth coming, right? She's like, she's got it over her shoulder, just this massive amount of food. And her mother-in-law's like, oh my gosh, what is this? that move. And she says, where did you glean? Where did you work? Oh my gosh, who found favor on you? That word favor, this word favor means who showed you kindness? Who lifted you up? This was no normal amount of food that Ruth returned with. And Ruth said to her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working, "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his chesed, his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." There is no coincidence in the ancient original Hebrew in Ruth that two sentences apart, do you have redeemer tied in to chesed? We are picking up themes that we see all the way in Exodus, and now we have carried them to Ruth, where the loving kindness of one is directly tied to a sense of redemption. Are we seeing what's happening in this picture with Boaz to Ruth, and ultimately what we see with God towards us who are sinners? That God in his loving kindness allows and provides a way to redemption. The loving kindness of God, the chesed of God, it redeems our life from the pit. And chesed is redeeming Ruth and Naomi's life from the pit. This word chesed, it is the deepest kind of kindness and love that one can experience. It is a love and a kindness that sees through to the end of the story. It is a kindness that is able to change lives. It is able to redeem. It is able to lift out from the pits. Naomi, remember, she called herself Mara. She said, "I am now bitter." Naomi forgot the chesed of God. She forgot about his loving kindness. She forgot what it meant to see God seeing through things to the end. And she allowed her circumstance to distract from the reality that God's loving kindness is eternal. And what we see in Boaz is this kindness that does now go above all things that are happening. It is breaking through this story of suffering. It is breaking through social barrier. It is breaking through ethnic barrier. It's bringing about redemption in their lives. This kinsman redeemer, this deep practice in ancient Jewish culture, this is not just something that the Jews decided to do. No, it is a deep reflection of who our God is. One who redeems from the pits. God said he would send a redeemer who would die in our place to rescue us from our sin, to breach this gap between us and God. Just as we see this gap closing between Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, how much greater it is that through Jesus' death and resurrection, our faith in him, this gap between us and God closes. It is through his loving kindness that God provided a Savior. It is through Boaz's loving kindness that redemption is coming about for this family. If you've ever read Ruth before, what you will learn is that at the end of this story, Ruth is an ancestor of Jesus. Jesus is a direct descendant to Ruth. So how powerful it is that Ruth, experiencing deep chesed, is part of a lineage that will demonstrate the ultimate chesed, the greatest display of God's loving kindness, Jesus dying on the cross for our sin. To do what? To redeem. What Boaz is doing is demonstrating just a taste of how incredible, how powerful, how beautiful God's redeeming love is. This kindness ascribed to Boaz, it is not ascribed to many in the Bible. But what we get all throughout the Old Testament are these glimpses of a coming Messiah, glimpses of the one who will perfect these things. And as I said earlier, as we study these books and as we read through these Old Testament narratives, your mind should be going forward. Someone will perfect this. Has said, this great kindness, it will welcome you in. It will break all social and cultural and status barriers. And has said, it will redeem your life from the pit. I hope that you are seeing that just as Ruth is being redeemed into this community, integrated and given a place at the table, through faith in Jesus, this is ultimately what God does with us. He restores us. He brings us into his community, his family, and he gives us a seat at the table. This family of God, it belongs to all who will believe. And this chesed, this kindness that's present, is the power to transform and redeem any life who lives under its protection. So as we close here, I hope and I pray that as we are being encouraged and excited by this story and excited by Ruth and Boaz and where this is taking us, that ultimately we never take our eyes off Jesus. And so first, you are supposed to think of Jesus coming to ultimately redeem all of creation in this text. God's love and his kindness, his chesed, it is waiting for you in Christ. The story of Ruth invites us into the family of God. It invites us in to taste and see that God's chesed, it is so wonderful. And is full of sweet redemption. If you have never trusted in Jesus, put your faith in him today. It's the one who died for you. Through his love and through his kindness. And to ultimately provide a way for you to experience ultimate life, ultimate protection in God, a seat at the table, and eternal chesed. Secondly, don't forget that God is chesed. He is kindness. Naomi forgot, and she needed a powerful reminder. She needed to see Boaz exemplify this kindness towards Ruth. She needed to be reminded of ultimately who God is. How amazing it is that she was able to see just a taste of who our wonderful God is in Boaz. Even in the pits, God, he loves you, and he will extend his kindness towards you in any situation, even when it's tempting to become lonely and bitter. And finally, Boaz teaches us that as followers of God, we ought to exemplify him. We ought to bear witness to God in everything that we do. Just as Boaz causes us to remember and to see who God is, how much more we should also practice these things. We should remind one another of Jesus. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Do we point each other to Jesus? Do we exemplify who he is in our lives? Who are you taking in? Who are you raising up? Who are you breaking those barriers for? And who are you showing the kindness or the chesed of God to? May Boaz encourage us to point to Jesus in everything that we do. So that ultimately, notice how Naomi did not say, praise Boaz, but she says, praise God. He is our Redeemer. I pray that chesed becomes powerful you today and in everything you experience in life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare for a time of communion. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you as your word says that you are loving kindness. God, you are chesed, and this kindness, Lord, it sees through all things, has no barrier, nothing is able to deter it, to stop it, to end it. It is a ever-present reality, and I pray today that we would see and find great hope, as Naomi is finding great hope, that when chesed is evident, Lord, redemption is soon to follow. How amazing that these two things are tied hand in hand. And Lord, we know that in Jesus, the ultimate one who shows your loving kindness, God, how near and great salvation is for those who trust in you. May we be people who live under the protection of your chesed. And Lord, may we extend it towards all, always. We thank you for this day, and we pray for your blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.